majority of us will be there to check that. And of course, maybe for only the amount of money. I will now start the procedure. Can I call for a nomination for an acting chairperson? I recognize Mr. Sibande.
My name is Mr. Sibande, the name of this committee. I hereby invite to our own.
Mr. Amitakani, do you take a nomination? Is this contest?
I second the proposal of the bank that the honorable Amatlagane should chair the meeting. Thank you.
Are there any other nominations, members? Mr. Shilembe? So, if there is no further nomination, will Mr. Amitakani then take the seat and thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Say that the chair of the committee gave it to me briefly. She indicated that she did receive a letter from the chair about the last week that type of last week, on which she has explained what happened. I'm not going to read the letter, I'm just quoting the meeting that that letter was received, and the letter, in the ending part of the letter, the chair of the board had asked the committee that they will be here this morning at the board, and indeed they are here. And further than that, they and then indicated that they have to be, given that they have already indicated that they are coming, that the committee should consider putting the subpoena aside, because they are willingly going to come here without the subpoena that is in the process. So the chair did indicate that given that she did not see a better need to proceed and what they already here before the subpoena is actually finalized and signed the subpoena. So I'm raising it so that it's for completion. What is here, they came willingly before the subpoena was delivered or finalized. So I think for the record, we should say that. We have to let the board set the last. The department of Sunday waiting for the subpoena to arrive, which is what the committee are going to do, but you are not here. So, having said that, I think it's good to let the chair of the board maybe just see that for us.
Can we be afforded an opportunity to know the delegation from Krasnachar, since I am meeting them for the first time? Please, Jay, if you don't mind, thank you.
Okay, let's just do the quick introduction. I'm Leonard Rama Sakhan, a member of this committee. Let's go there, down the road, remember.
Thank you, Jay. Good morning, everybody. My name is Kurt Zulesinger. Member of the committee.
Good morning, my name is Manny Strikes, member of the committee.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Montan Delegate Kimbo, and I'm the committee.
Good morning, everyone. I am Tembalan Treko, member of the committee. Thank you.
Manny Ashikolashan, member of this committee.
Tambonani, Skubu Zumbanda, Nubadali Bukumit.
Tambonani, Bukumit Tiki, Sibane, Nubadali Bukumit.
So, when you come back to Plaza, let me go to you over the chat, and
I'm coming on up with the acting coach CEO of Plaza.
I am Professor John Monodeke from FASA, member of the BOC.
I am Advocate C.A.N. Makubede, S.D. I'm Chairperson of the FASA Intermediate.
I'm Dr. Nekki Skippen. I'm a board member as well.
Good morning, I'm Kajani Maluleke. I'm a board member representing the Minister of Transport.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Sipho Dibakwane from the Department of Transport.
Good morning, honorable members. Mwaku Makai Pia. TDG Rail Transport, the Department of Transport.
Good Good morning, Chair and your members. My name is Lindy Kayazi, the company secretary.
Good morning, members. My name is Dr. Sipostol, Group Chief Strategy Officer at PASA.
Chairperson, I just want to indicate that one member is not here. His name is Dr. Duncan. He's a guest. He's the representative of National Children. If you may just say a comment. Otherwise, all members, all other members. Yes, two actually are not present. And also, Mr. Tony De George, a representative of SASA, he is presenting the another portfolio committee. So we can suggest no
apologies. Thank you very much, Advocate. So those are the two apologies. Okay, we note them. Now I'll come back to you.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, and members of your portfolio committee. Last, the events of 6 February 2018 were very unfortunate, and it's unfortunate that things unfolded in a very dramatic manner. But as you have already indicated, I did write to the chairperson of the portfolio committee a day after, as we learned that day that the board was required to be here. I learned the previous day and I explained the circumstances under which came to my knowledge that I was required to be here. There was no invitation extended to the board. At least the SMS and the email were indicating that I am required. And I've explained the reasons and the circumstances. And Jefferson, in the letter, I will not go through it. It's a 50-page letter that the substance and the analysis, and I think the committee members would have had sight of it. I have also indicated, as you have already indicated, that the board of PRASM, we were here on 24 November 2017, because that was just some few weeks into our appointment, we were not able to answer certain questions that were raised with us. We then made an undertaking that we are going to sit down and collect information so that we can come back properly and account to the portfolio committee, which was we have been doing since we left here. We, in the beginning of the year, we saw your draft program that suggested that on 30 January there was going to be a portfolio committee meeting, but that was a draft and it hasn't been confirmed. But the gist of the matter, Chairperson, is that after the unfortunate event of 6 February, we did receive an invitation over and above my commitment that the board is coming. And we were on our way here, we were just waiting for a day. But in the letter, Chairperson, I also indicated, because I didn't know, or rather, let me stop saying we didn't know what the agenda of the meeting is going to be, because it appeared from the correspondence, the emails, and the invitation that was extended to the officials, that there was a letter written by Unite Behind, and it appeared that the meeting was going to be a discussion about the issues raised. But we were also concerned, Chairperson, that we don't know whether in the agenda there's going to be any discussion about governance issues. And I indicated in my letter to the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee and also in our conversation that governance issues in Prasa or rather then let me start here. There's a pending court application at the Western Cape High Court. The matter is set down for 19 February, which is next week, between unite behind the first respondent is the minister, the second respondent is the brother. I indicated in the letter that I would not be comfortable to discuss any governance issues in the context of a unite behind wanting to raise those issues for the portfolio committee because there is a pending matter. I don't want to go into the details, but when I look at the invitation, I then became comfortable because the invitation on which we are here is about raised matters and related operational matters but relating to race. And in that regard, Chairperson, I just want to indicate to you that the board of Prasa will discuss the issues it has undertaken to report to the portfolio committee on, but not under this circumstance. Thank you.
I see the hand. I see your hand, but the only item that you are asking the board to do was just to clarify what happened last week. And that the chair was clarified that, and then all went forward to the other issues that is not yet on the discussion. So I think that's just for us. I see your 15 hands. I wanted to suggest the way forward. But let me see, I see the one hand here and another in the entry, or so that we can then proceed. Honorable Martin.
Thank you, Jay. Don't get me wrong, Jay. We are just as keen to carry on and not think and ponder on this messaging and what happened last week. I do have a lot of discomfort the interpretation of what happened, what should have happened, and how we experienced it. And let me be very clear. As I experienced it last week was the absence of the board for no particular reason. There were no reasons available last week for the absence of the board. No reason. So much so that this committee had no other choice other than to summons the board members to be here this week. Then in retrospect, through what the chair now disclosed, we get all sorts of input around not being informed properly, unrevealed content of an agenda, which is very disturbing because then definitely there is a serious communication problem. We had the response of the department last week confirming that invitations for last week's meeting was sent through and it was followed up with SMSs upon which clarity could have been seen, and that's the whole point. clarity could have been seen at the point where the notices went out, to now come in retrospect and then question the reason for this meeting, the reason why this committee saw it fit to have Unite Behind Here, to have a report put on the table as an agenda. I just find it lousy, and I've got no other description for that. Thank you, Chair.
Members, I see that, you know, just clarify, there was a letter that was written by the committee, and I signed it. It had an agenda. There were clear issues that need to be discussed. It was sent. Now, we don't know what happened between the letter being passed, because we communicated with the minister, and the minister communicated with the board. But it was a clear letter with the agenda of what needs to be discussed. But of course, we understand the communication problem between the letter and the staff. So let's not make it as if there were no agenda set by the committee. There was an agenda, there was a letter that contained in the mail the problem of natural issues and the startup, because that was the issue that we needed to discuss. So I don't want us to get into a lot of discussion about that, because I think the letter was clear about what we needed to discuss. Honorable President.
Thank you, Acting Chair. I'm not going to repeat what my colleague has said, but what I do want to extend is the board chair is attempting to decide on what the agenda is. The board chair is a guest of this committee, and this committee decides on what the agenda is. The Unite Behind document was tabled last week. It was available to the board. They know exactly what the contents are, and that's what's going to be discussed on the agenda. They will not decide what the agenda is. And that's all there is. But to say that they're not going to be discussing certain things because they're going to court next week is rubbish, because then I can use the same logic to say that she shouldn't even be on the board as a person on the bench who will be joining the bench in April. So we will discuss it, we will drive the agenda, and stop the cover-up. Thank you.
The language that you are on, basic language, I think we should withdraw that kind of statement. It's not going to help us. The whole thing about rubbish, I think we should withdraw that.
What's the rubbish?
Okay, Honorable Panda.
No, thanks, Chair. I think, Chair, let's put the emotions aside. Let's just deceive it in our engagement. As you expect, let's use the proper language, the honorable language. Chair, I think what we must do, so that we don't delay the meeting, let's accept your explanation as far as summoning is concerned. Note that one. And then, Chair, and accept that there was a communication breakdown between the department, the group CEO, and the board. And I think let's just leave it at that one. But also, let's just emphasize as a matter of principle to the board and PASA that when PASA is invited by the board, by the portfolio committee, as a matter of principle, the board must also be in attendance. That's the procedure, that's the protocol. So going forward, so that there will be no confusion going forward. So I think, Chair, let's just move in that direction.
Chairperson, I think in terms of the guide, first of all, I wanted to apologize. Today is not me. I was some challenges at home. But I've traveled myself to come and participate. You see, Chairperson of the board, I think it was enough when you apologize. Don't ever try to go too deep with it. Like he, the chairperson was helping you in terms of the guidelines, how to take the process forward. If you push us to another level, that is something else in terms of the Riot Act, in terms of the Public Management Act. No, there's no time for that. You are an accounting officer. If we have requested you to come here, don't give us another source. In terms of the guidelines, in terms of the protocol, I think it was sufficient that even ourselves, we don't just go to you, we invite you through proper channel, through the office of the ministry and the like. Therefore, if there is a mistake, it is between you and the relevant protocol. And also, there is no person who can determine for us as the portfolio committee that who must come, who mustn't come. It's us who are supposed to decide that which are the groups who are supposed to come. Therefore, Chairperson, what I propose, we fully support that proposal you made initially, but it shows up, you know. So let us assist you as well. That we let us put aside, because to us, what is the key fundamental? It is the lives of the people, the things which are happening on the ground. That's where we're supposed to do, and we're supposed to listen to anybody who wants to bring something so that we can make us, I think we work as collectives, so that you can, I mean, to try to work forward. Because the guidelines, the letter which was written by the 18 chapters, is having guidelines what we expected from you, not the man among us. And it's you, Mr. Maduleke. Go and sort out that mistake, even in terms of the competition, because you are sitting there representing the ministry of the board. Don't come and embarrass us in front of your top people. That's where you're supposed to start. That is your, I mean, that is your union in your own bedroom, not here. But here, I propose that we proceed in terms of the proposed agendas, because people have died in our concert. A lot of people have died. And people, they need self delivery. The issue of the board and what to achieve is come. If anybody challenges us in terms of this, we can go deeper and also in terms of the constitution as well. You are lying for team. If we call you, we call you. Nothing else. Thank you, Chairman. Let's proceed.
Thank you, Honourable Members. We will now proceed. Remember, we're going to get the presentation advocate, you wanted to come back.
I have to. The letter that you signed, the other issues I stated them because they are in my letter, that's the subject. And my view was that in the event that the subpoena is issued, obviously there's going to be an inquiry, and then you will find us having disobeyed you, but it hasn't happened. So, but in the event that it happens, my letter would say, as an explanation. I was just raising it because you started and I didn't know where to stop. The only apology I can offer is going beyond what you had asked me to do. But everything is already in the letter. The letter that you signed, Chairperson, dated 31 January 2018, directed to the minister. It's important that everyone must have that at the back of their mind when Prasa is being questioned. This letter, it says, you bear with me. I have to read it. Can I do that? It says, meeting of the PC on transport 6th and 13th February 2018. The Portfolio Committee on Transport received a request from Unite Behind for an urgent meeting on an emergency safety plan at Metro Rail. A further request was received from the chairperson of the Road Accident Fund to meet with the Committee on Issues pertaining to governance at the NPC. The committee agreed on 30 January 2018 to the following: 1. That the meeting on rail and commuter safety with Unite Behind is scheduled for 6 February 2018 from 9:30 to 18 hours. It was further agreed that the Department of Transport, the Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa, and the Railway Safety Regulator be invited to attend the meeting, and two, that the meeting on governance at the Road Accident Fund is scheduled for 13 February 2018 from 9:30 to 12:45. Officials from the department, PRASA, and the RSR are therefore cordially invited to attend the committee meeting on 6 February. The department is further invited to the meeting with the RAF on 13 February. Queries regarding the meeting can be directed to committee secretary Ms. Valerie Charlton, and the details are given. Yours sincerely, L. Ramatlakane, MP, 18th Chairperson, PC on Transport. This copy to the Deputy Minister, Ms. L.S. Chibunga, and the Director General on Transport. This is the invitation. But issues relating to further communication by SMS and email, those are dealt with in my letter, and I have explained that how those went around Jefferson. So I do acknowledge the strong language being used against the board, but this is the starting point. And in the event that the subpoena is active, or if it was active, my letter with the content would have said, thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Advocate. And welcome, Deputy Minister Chibunga. I think we welcome you to accept who came at this debate. So you're welcome to participate at any given time. So we want to go back to the agenda and have the presentation made. Before we get into the presentation, I need to clarify, and I want to be right behind to have an attention. We're going to have your uninterrupted 20-minute presentation. We will allow it to do that. But let's agree on parameters of this discussion. I think your presentation was circulated last week. I can take it there. Members have interacted with it. You have asked to make a submission to the portfolio committee on the state capture. Now, this committee, the ordinary committee, portfolio committee meeting, not so much about the state capture. So there are issues in your submission who relate to the state capture broad discussion that is taking place. This committee will probably have to engage with that as to how we're going to deal with that second section of your presentation. We would have to agree as to what process we're going to follow, whether we're going to have an inquiry in which we are going to be able to ask you to make that presentation. Of course, in that submission, lots of I call it allegations, I mean, untested at the moment, other reference to matters in court and so on, which would require a different approach in terms of dealing with. So I don't want us to move into areas which we have not prepared ourselves to. Reading your presentation, I think it takes 1 to 6. If I look at the pages that deals with a specific topic around the terrain, deals, for example, page 6, part of 7,
But when you go to the next phase, we then dealing with the space capture issues. So we haven't made our mind in terms of how we're going to deal with that. But because we now have the submission, the committee will have to apply its mind as how we're going to deal with that particular section in a message about what can be done with this particular meeting, which has not applied our mind to that particular aspect. So I just want us to be clear so that we don't get to slaughter people that are not able to respond to some of the what is said. We'll make the process arrest so that people are able to have their right to respond to an allegation that are made in a properly constituted meeting for that. And that's the thing that we have to. Having said all that, just to clarify that I would like you to get into the presentation. And I see the hand behind you, right at the back. I don't know whether it's got to do with the presentation. Is it? Yes, you want to say something?
Ngosuntshana phambi igama lam nguluya ndifane ngombhele ndisuka kwi-United Commuter Voice. We submitted a letter to you through the secretary. I'm not sure noba iHouse of Federal Cafer iphele masini na when dealing with matters of civil society. I think even before we have submitted some correspondence through this committee. Now, I'm not sure, I heard you talking about your agenda. We interacted last week about our correspondence, and we are here also today, and nothing has been saying. Whereas we do property, even we look at the guidelines and the laws of South Africa, how to do submissions in the Transport Portfolio Committee. Can you attend to that? Thank you very much.
But in the process of the discussion, we will sort all of all that and then indicate what we need to do. Remember, I'm already the chair for that, so the chair for the letter. But we'll see how we handle that particular issue in terms of the commission in the matter. I hear that you don't want to your voice is independent. You don't want to land behind the speak for you. So I hear that very clear. So we'll have a discussion amongst us and we'll see how we handle your request support in this process. Okay, so let's get back to the presentation. I'm checking the clock. We have the 20 minutes to present. Now, another interruption, okay?
Just a question of clarity. You indicated that the document was submitted to the committee, and then in your explanation you differentiated about the certain definite themes and headings of this document received by the NICR, some of which you said was about state capture, another portion dealt with governance, and another portion dealt with the safety of commuters. And then you said that the purpose of this meeting was then focused on governance. I want clarity, Jen, whether this document is then received by this portfolio committee in totality. In other words, do we then now table the whole document? But are you suggesting that emphasis would be placed on a portion of this? Or are you saying that this document is only tabled partially?
No, the simplest way, the document is received, which is a 20-page document, received the committee as such. But what I'm saying is that the document, and I don't think you can blame the writer of the document, because they are making a thorough submission to a committee that is dealing with the same chapter. That's what the document is written, that's what it says. So I'm saying that because as a committee, we have not yet decided to go in a full-blown discussion about the election, so we should set up the media. The witnesses are coming to the media cross-examined. So I'm saying only the portion that requires the data etc. We need to make, even though we've received the document in total, but we'll have a partial, we'll have a discussion in respect to the first part, which is the normal what we are concerned about. And then we must make up our mind as to when we then convene to have a discussion, whether we convene to have this full-blown state capture discussion. That's what I'm saying. The committee must apply its mind to that. So I'm going back to Mike behind to please present.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Vivian Vova. I am part of the organizing secretariat for Hashtag United Times. Firstly, I would like to thank you, Honorable Jefferson, Ramasakai, and the rest of the board for the committee for allowing us an opportunity to come and speak for the year of the mission. I'd also like to give a special thanks to the comments right there at the back. The UTS Hotel, comments from SJC, Mr. and Mrs. Sandman for coming to us, and the cluster group and the board as well. Firstly, before I start, I don't know if it's possible, but Honourable, if you can allow all, can you please just give us maybe an extra 5 or 10 minutes? I don't think 20 minutes is going to be enough. I know you probably have a lot of things to do, but is it possible? 10 minutes would be fine. Okay. Let me specify you. This 20 minutes applies to the whole presentation, not only myself, right? Okay. So, 25 minutes or 30 minutes would be fine. All right. Who are to see? On the 17th of January, PRASA had a meeting. They invited, had a stakeholder engagement meeting in one of the offices right here at the station. So we encountered a lot of violence, members of Unite Behind and other, basically their affiliates that fall under Unite Behind. They assaulted and insulted as well. So when we came here last Tuesday, we saw the same people that were violent towards the members of Unite Behind. So if it's possible, Chair, I don't know if they can like exit the room, because our members don't feel safe. We've had threats from, I think, the past 2 weeks. Private security going to houses and speaking to their families to tell them that we need to stop talking about CASA or even raising any issues concerning CASA. So that's it's one of the things that's bringing us to the board, or actually allowing us to come and speak to the board to actually intervene. It's quite an emergency. So if it's not possible, Honorable Chair. If I may proceed. Firstly, I want to take the House through to the presentation. I'll introduce the team that I'm with today. I'll introduce the team, I'll speak about what Unite Behind is, and I will also speak about the campaign that Unite Behind is. I don't know if they're on the phone.
Chair, who comment? This was a comment which you are making as a request. I want you to put it without any hesitation. Nobody will be intimidated to come and present with us. That is the first point. Then I don't think it would be right that we say this one come out, this one. This area, this territory is highly protected. And believing also that the people who are coming to present here, they're highly protected, each and every individual in South Africa is protected.
this is not a banana republic. And Chairperson, I think control it, which if the person is presenting or presenting, because it will allow us at the end to take some decision if it's supposed to be a decision.
Time that is uninterrupted time, but now I can see. Okay, nevertheless, pause. We will pause and save your time. And let's sort this part out. I see one of the creators and then the 50 minutes. On the first part of the intimidation, that's the problem.
Yes, Madam Chair, I want to concur with my colleague. He's quite right. Anybody here is completely protected. My concern is what happens out there beyond this precinct. And this is most concerning. I'm not going to talk about how highly illegal it is. And I don't want to bog down today's proceedings, but I would like us to take this further. Who has been intimidating and hurting these people? And take it further. Criminal charges, whatever the case is. And if these people in the room, then we need to know who they are, and need to be identified, we need to take it further. So I don't want to hold up the works, but this is very serious. It's not on. Thank you.
Okay, I've seen the Deputy Minister, Chikunga.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me greet everyone, and apologize for arriving late. I landed late in the chair. Castle is a state-owned company that reports to Article 6 of Transport. And anybody is free to interact with us at any time given. This is a problem when we come before the portfolio committee and wild allegations are made. You would be happy if there's anybody who feels intimidated by Prada. And I want to believe that it will be a name of a person. Because to say Prada, I don't think it's proper. It will be extremely Chikunga, intimidating Tandi Kumalo. And Tandi Kumalo will go to a police station and open the case against Tandi Chikunga, who works for Prada. I think that must be said. For me, it is nothing but real wild allegation. That's it. The second Chairperson, I'm happy that you requested the Honourable Member to withdraw the word rubbish. Because good as we will definitely want to subject ourselves to the authority, which is the constitutional authority given to the Portfolio Committee. But there isn't anything in the Constitution that says members of Parliament will insult anybody or undermine anybody who appears before it. The Constitution is very clear on the powers of Parliament, including the rules of the main assembly. I just want to raise one issue. We do not immediately become fools because we appear before the Portfolio Committee. We remain adults, professionals, and just want to raise one issue. Maybe to also, because I'm now talking, to again apologize on behalf of the department for the failure of the board to appear for the portfolio committee last week because of course, miscommunication. I emphasize that point, and there cannot be any reason that we can put forward that will probably amount to saying it's justified for anyone invited by the portfolio committee to appear. My view, Chairperson, is that we will want to listen to the content of the presentation. It becomes problematic when wild allegations are made because now I'm here, I'm looking at this people from Prasa. I don't know whether there are people here that are actually committing crimes. If anybody is committing crimes, let's go to the police station, open the case, and say we have a case number, and that will assist anyone.
Okay, honourable members, I also see honourable chair in the back. Yeah, maybe they're looking there.
Chairperson, just for the point of clarity, well, I'm getting lost now hearing the opinion that they at the Prata report to the Department of Transport. I don't know where that has to be for the commission, because I'm trying to get clear that if you're saying they must report to the department, in the minister's department, or to the Controller Committee. So, I mean, we do not, I mean, end up asking questions where they are not at the
question. Honorable Shamanda, I think the point that was made by the minister is simple, that the authority that state enterprise enforces the Department of is an agency for the Department of Transport. That's what she was talking about. They do, that's why they have a board. They also report to the department, to the minister, to the general, what has been agreed in terms of confidence. That we have to implement the board to do this, 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 and the other, on behalf of the department and department. They then go back and report this is what is done. So that's explanation. Accountability is here. That's what hasn't changed. And it's got nothing to do with what the minister was talking about. I think let's get back to the main discussion. And I'm not going to have any parade here. We can't just go into that kind of it's a procedure to do that. So I think if there is people that have accumulated that stands contact, so we shouldn't do it. We should say that clearly. And if you feel uncomfortable, feel that you have the right to open the case to the police, then say, Mr. X or his wife has done this, what, and the police will then deal with that particular matter. And how will then deal with that particular matter? We would not be able here to solve that matter. So there's another agency that must deal with that particular matter. I did not lose your time. This time it was an injury time. So let's go back to your presentation. Let's get into it.
Thank you so much, Chair. Now I would like to take the board into the presentation. We have two commuters. Kwame Bolisai Hamini, Kwame Brian Johnson from Alki, Kwame Bolisai from Kailicha. They'll be sharing us their experiences using the inventory. And we also have, most of these speakers, the third person, Mr. Nesley Hamini. He's from the Rail Community Action Group, and also an expert in rail spaces and security. He's been fighting the struggle or the struggle of safety in PASA for the past 17 years. So he's also been speaking to us about safety and security. Last but not least, we have Sifati Ahmed. Not only talking about state capture, but he'll be speaking about failure in government and mechanism management, and also legal proceedings that include you about PASA. We'll be the last person to end off. So, We Left Behind is a voluntary association of people's movements. So, these are the three organizations that we managed to add to the slide. We have about plus minus three organizations. So, basically, it's organizations that are dealing with legal policy and support innovation and advocating for justice and equality in South Africa. So this is the slide is just to show the work that United Behind is doing. The first image there was on the 7th of August when human rights organizations and human rights United Behind came together. That was the day of the day for the Vodafone Confidence Campaign. So basically, some of the leaders that they really made in that March were some of the leaders of the participants. They are ex
ANC members, some of them are still ANC members. So the aim of the march was not really to say we are against what ANC is doing, but to actually recall and making sure that we regain the power of the people. Okay. So this image is just to show what has been happening. These images were taken here in the Western Cape. So that image there, bottom left, would be what's happening right now. And the last one is going to be on the second right. For the past 5 weeks, we haven't had access to Central and Northern Line. So this is how people are traveling. This is just to show the extent and the state of emergency at CASA, and the fact that CASA is really a crisis. People are dying at CASA. And there's a lot of, as I said, there's a lot of things that are happening, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And we also believe that CASA cannot do things on their own. They need to engage with the civil society, they need to engage with our organizations that can be able to assist, organizations that have members that are living with this poor condition. So I'm about to play like a very short video. And then after that, I'll give it to my colleague, Mama Jennifer, and what you've just witnessed now is desperation and fear of losing employment. It's fear of not being able to provide for your family. Even that is difficult because for the past 5 weeks, as I'm saying, we have not had access to the train, both Northern and Central Line. So this is just to appeal to the committee to say, please can the committee intervene. We are really interested. I'm going to give it to my chicken for the report. I'm going to say, I'm not going to end another one.
Chair, a word speaking Afrikaans, is it okay if I just say?
Goeiemôre voorsitters, ek is bly om hier te wees, dit vaart jou met hier van terrein. My naam is Warren Johnson, ek is my terrein de afgelopen 5 jaar.
Well, good morning Chairperson, I'm very happy to be here this morning and to share my situation that I've been experiencing on the train as well as those of my family. My name is Warren Johnson and I stay in Elsie's River and I've been using the train for the past 5 years.
Ons treine is so vol, ons mense moet weer steeds te slim vir 'n staanplek. Die treine is so vol, vrou mense word betas, verhoof, mense kry seer, mense verloor hulle lewens. Vandag is ek sonder werk.
Our trains are so full that people must climb through the window just to get a place to stand in the train. Our people are being robbed, ladies are being touched inappropriately, and people are also getting hurt.
Yeah. Trains are very loud. I was one day workless. The ice is cold in Praza. The red fever is telling you in Gabriel. The Praza is going to put up trains. The red fever is in Jakobal voortgegaan in my afgedank.
Trains are always late. Today I'm unemployed because of me being late at work every day. My employer used to phone Metro Rail and to inquire whether the trains are late, but still he went ahead and I was fired.
Om train te reis is 'n vernederende ervaring. Ek pyp by hierdie komitee om alles in hulle vermoë te doen om trein op te trek om weer en meer waans aan te skaf. Voldoende ons mense waardigheid te herstel, dankie.
To make use of a train is a very humiliating experience. I'm begging and pleading from this committee to get us more carriages on the train so that we as people, that our dignity and humanity can be restored.
My name is Donisa Shamini. I stay in Kalibicha. I started working in acting in 1999. I was losing 10 because it's the only relevant way to go to work. I had to start at 7 o'clock, but as from 1999, I used to be late. Instead of 7 o'clock, I used to clock late because of the train delay and the absence of train at the 11th. So I had to answer some questions. Sometimes I had to get off at neutral station instead of Langa station and have to come back to Langa station by another train. And it cost me time. And when I get to work, my manager would say, why are you late? And I have to answer the same question every day for 5 days in a week. I was demoted in 2008, and then in 2012 I was given a warning up until I was retrenched on the 20th of August in 2013, in 13 years time. And I had to leave my job for another lady who was staying in Langa because she used to travel to work, and she was only 4 years at work. And I was 13 years old, 13 years at work. I had to leave my job for her because she's staying in Langa, and I'm staying in Kailisha, and I have no other way to come there. Because the bus is driving away from my destination. I can't take bus, I can't take a taxi, I have to drive by train because from Kailisha to Langa is the only way I can go. So since then I'm not working anymore.
Ladies and gentlemen, members of the committee, thank you very much for the opportunity. I will try and not take too long. My colleague needs more time than I do. Believe me, what has been heard today by our two members here have suffered on the trains is one of tens of thousands which happen constantly, and not only in the Western Cape. It happens every single day throughout the country. I'm involved throughout the country, and I have facts and details, as the rail regulator, as Prasa has, about what is going on in the trains. I sit here today to plead on behalf of the rail commuters of this country, who are daily abused by the system we call Metro Rail Prasa. 17 years ago, our son was murdered on the train, and we've been fighting through courts, right up to the Constitutional Court. What we are discussing here today is no different than what led to my son's death 17 years ago. It's identical, and in fact, it's getting worse by the day.
Just the same way, just seeing if anybody has anything like the others to see which one was like to identify himself.
The members of the committee, just remind them your name.
Oh, sorry. My name is Leslie van Minnen, and I'm the chairperson of the Royal Commuters Action Group. The actions that have been implemented by the Royal Commuters Action Group over all these years has actually proven to be useless. We have gone through every court in this country, as I said, right up to the Constitutional Court, which have found CRASA wanting in all respects. And yet today we argue this very same points. Our passengers are exposed on a daily basis to a poor service which seems to be that the authorities seem unable or unwilling to improve. We have had a massive amount of interaction between CRASA and ourselves regarding safety and security issues in the rail environment. The interaction, as I said, constituted of a massive amount of court cases costing tens of millions of rands for ourselves and the state. And we've achieved very little. The Constitutional Court found that CRASA and Metrorail were 100% responsible for safety and security on the trains. It is not happening. Therefore, they are in contempt of court. Therefore, the Rail Commuter Action will be implementing court action through the Constitutional Court soon for contempt of that ruling. There have been continued promises and so-called action plans over all these years, and yet we sit here today. What happened to the plans? What happened to all the promises? What happened to all the schemes? It's talk, nothing else but talk. One can actually state that the entire saga can be equated, and this is my joke, as a merry-go-round. People jump on, they make plans, they jump off, they jump on, they have new schemes. Every time there's new people, new schemes, new plans. But the circle goes around and around and around and no solutions ever come. And that's where our people sit on a daily basis. Our people continue, I say our people, our passengers, the citizens of this country, not our people, the citizens of this country sit on a daily basis and, as was said, are abused, robbed, raped, killed, thrown out of trains with open doors, and it's, oh, all right, we take notice of it and it's fully investigated. That's as far as it goes. I'm going to very briefly go through what the main problems are, because I don't have all that much time and I won't elaborate on it. But these are the headlines. Contractor guards. The contractor guards on the CRASA Metro Rail, as we all know and by their own definition, are untrained and ill-equipped to handle the situation on our trains. They are D&E grade guards. They do not have power of arrest. They do not carry weapons. They do not know how to work with crowds or crowd control. They are poor caliber. And most times, my experience, they're not even aware of their own tasks. Stations. Some stations do not even have access and egress control. This was fought in our main court case in the Cape Western High Court years ago about access control. In some stations, there are no access controls. We have guards there lying against the door or sitting on a chair. That is the so-called access control. This allows criminals to get onto trains. This allows criminals to kill people on trains. This allows criminals to get off at the next station and walk through as if nothing has happened. Where are the guards? Where's the security? There's free access on the trains as well. That means criminals can get on, whether they have tickets or no tickets. How does a person get on a train if there's proper access control? They should not be allowed on the train. They're supposed to have a ticket. But they get on a train with no ticket. And then CRASA and Metro Rail suddenly have this massive stop the train and we check everybody to see if we've got a ticket. We don't stop a train to see if they kill people. The ticket is important, not a person's life. Deployment of guards. You seldom see guards, these so-called contracted guards. and others on trains or on stations. And when they do, they all sit in one place on a train, congregating, preferably in the Metro Rail Plus. They don't go down to the cheaper part of the train, which is needed more. And when you go to them, they don't know what to do half the time because they're not trained. This is personal experience. It happens. Not so long ago, Plaza Metro Rail were fined 3 million rand by the registering authority for private security companies in the country. Why? Because every single guard in this country is supposed to be registered. Three quarters of Metro Guards or half of Metro Guards were not even registered to be security guards. These are people protecting the people on the trains. They're not registered. Plaza pays 3 million rand fine. Lots of money to pay for nothing, for incompetence. Armed police on the train. We were told quite clearly, Rapid Rail Police, we can't put police on the train. Armed police on the train. Why? Because it's not safe for a policeman to be on a train with a gun. If a policeman is not safe on a train, what about a woman and a child and a disabled person? For goodness sake, let's wake up and smell the daisies, people. Train guards. I'm talking about train guards, but let's the train operator is at the back of the train. In 90% of the times, and I've written about this numerous times to Praza, the regulation says clearly the train guard must get out onto the station, observe if the train doors are open or closed, before that person gives authority for the train driver to go. Do you see that happening? No. The guard at the back, 90%, doesn't even get out of the train to see if the doors are closed. The result? People are falling off trains, being pushed off trains, ending up under trains, no legs, no this, no that. And then Praza has the insult to that person to take them to court and say, oh, you were probably drunk, or you were this, or you were that. It's your fault that you've got no legs. But unfortunately, in 90% of the cases, Praza loses their cases. Train marshals. Years ago, we were promised train marshals and TV cameras on the stations. It's 17 years later. 90% of the train stations in this country do not have train marshals. Their point was to make sure train doors were closed or there wasn't overcrowding and. Television cameras were supposed to be linked to security centres. Yes, there are some, but they are minimal. 17 years ago, I saw the tenders that went out for this. We're still waiting. 17 years later, must we wait another 17 years? Communication on the train. I mean, we hear that the communication between the driver and the control sender is atrocious. Sometimes they've got to use cell phones. It's 2018. They're using cell phones to say my train's broken down. Why I'm saying all of this, it has an inherent effect on the safety of the people in that train. All of these combinations add more and more until you don't have a 100% crisis, you have a 300% crisis. The Constitutional Court, as I said, made Praza responsible for safety and security. In 2005, there was another Constitutional Court ruling which said, any train operator in this country who operates with open doors must, uppercase, be prosecuted. Praza Rail operate on a daily basis with 90% of their trains with open doors. They just disregard the Constitutional Court of this country. So we're in the, what is higher than the Constitutional Court? Is the minister? Is the Praza? Who's higher than the Constitutional Court? Excuses, excuses, excuses. People are killed, people get thrown out of those same doors. We hear about the excuse. Oh, we're having new trains coming. We all know that it's a 20-year project before all the new trains are on the line. By the time the last train gets here in 20 years, the first ones that are operating in Gauteng now will be 20 years old. And every single coach that's a death trap at the moment on the lines will be out of existence. Why do I say that? Because the number of new coaches coming into the country will not equal the number of coaches that were in the country 10 years ago. And the population is increasing by 10, 20, 30%. Over that time. What does that mean? Your constant overcrowding and forcing of doors and whatever. Praza Rail says we cannot close our doors because, or we cannot stop our trains because, if the doors are open, because it will be a riot. But the new trains have technology which says if the train door opens while that train is moving, the train will stop. That was a specification on the new contract. So the train will stop, but the old ones don't have to stop if the train door is open. There are new regulations coming out, which are sitting with the Minister's Office, I believe, which will be added to the Rail Safety Act of 2002 as amended. And the new regulations are very, very, very specific as to what Prasa Metro Rail, all operators in the country, need to do. Prasa Metro Rail are unable to even comply with the current regulations. My question is, how are they going to comply with that? And if they can't comply now and don't comply with that, we'll carry on having thousands of people injured and killed. And so insurance costs and Lloyd's of London and everybody else will just carry on paying. Passengers are told, oh, please be patient, we're getting new trains. How many more years must they be patient? How many more years must they die on the train before we get new trains or the system is improved? We get new board, we get new boards, new CEOs, new staff, some new trains, new and better schemes every day, new promises made, but yet the same old system is applicable with no accountability. I'm going to close by simply saying, I have written letters recently to the Minister of Transport, GCR, CO, Prasa, Rail Regulator. I have had the decency of a reply from the Rail Regulator, who has invited me to Johannesburg for a meeting with him and his staff. The rest I haven't even had a response. That's the kind of attitude that gets people to burn trains and to do things, because of the frustration of those put into power that are not doing what they're supposed to do in terms of the Constitution. I will close by saying that the Rail Safety Regulator is dealing ourselves as the organisation. We assist with people that have been injured on the train, family members that have died on the train and so on, and I'm dealing with a lady today, tomorrow, which I will be assisting at the police station, and we'll be laying criminal charges for unlawful death of her son, who was killed through an open door, yet again. The Minister of Transport, Minister of Police, GCOs, COs, Rapid Rail Police, Prasa Metro Rail, and all staff and members will be charged for the unlawful death of that 19-year-old. The last time we did this, all those cases were squashed. I can assure you we won't let it happen again. I will finish because my colleague needs to carry on. Status of the trains are atrocious. They're not even third world. We should not even allow, after 24 years of freedom and Bill of Rights and Constitution in this country, the state has failed to protect the citizens of this country in terms of the constitutional prerogative which they have to do. And if they cannot do that, then not only organisations, but individuals within those organisations, we as an organisation will be starting litigation against those people in an individual capacity. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The last speaker, I'm watching the time. Just remind you
Mr. Chairperson, committee members, comrades, and the Prasa board, we're glad that you managed to make it today. Last week, Sukiswa and I had to cancel our flight because we went to the Economic Times concert. We were looking forward to hearing you today, so we're glad you're here today to hear actually what people say. So where would I want to start? I think the first place to start is to say this, that unless Prasa governance and executive management is sorted out, this will not go anywhere. And I want to thank Mr. Ramatlakane. We're happy that we will be afforded an opportunity to discuss in detail the corruption, the state capture issues. I think it would probably take us a couple of weeks to go through all the content of that. I want to just note for the record that we have lodged with the committee the leaked reports from Treasury, or the summary of the leaked reports from Treasury that was leaked to us by whistleblowers. There are a number of documents that have been leaked to us as well. So I want to go further and first discuss the security situation, as Mr. van Linden pointed out. There was a leaked memo from the Western Cape Regional Safety Manager, Mr. Ernest Hendricks, and you can find it online, and we've attached it to our communication. That memo said, first with the management of security, that managers have been promoted way beyond their capacity. The same is true of supervisors. That the contracts aren't managed properly. The leaked memo also made it very clear that the vast majority, or the majority, of Western Cape Regional Security by PRASA don't have SIRA registration. And in relation to that, he also pointed out that many of them had criminal records. And for us, this is unacceptable. We had, after almost 2 weeks, a response from Mr. Richard Walker, and I think he's present today. And he said that under... Just a piece on the cover. We can provide it, Deputy Minister. The majority, or according to him, and according to that memo, the majority of PRASA security guards in the Western Cape are either incompetent or have criminal records, and therefore cannot register as PRASA security guards. Mr. Walker then informs us that they're unapologetic because they're appointed veterans. It's not only the veterans that have criminal guards. We asked them for a list of all the security companies that PRASA contracts in the Western Cape. And he contemptuously told us that the region has asked legal to say, and legal says that they can't give us the contract and what should be done. Now, from the point of view of the Public Finance Management Act, from the point of view of the right to access to information, a public body should not even respond like that. They should simply give it, because it's our right to receive it, because people's lives are in danger. So we have now received a copy of PRASA's new Western Cape operational security infrastructure. Now what we have to know is that, can you just go one slide back? I just want to read what Mr. Walker writes to us. The impact of vagrancy, homelessness, drug abuse, illegal electrical connections underneath and over our infrastructure, informal settlements within the rail reserve due to lack of service land, lack of street-to-street access across underneath the rail system, disposal of wet waste due to lack of sanitation facilities, unemployment leading to pilfering of rail assets, ongoing trading of so-called illegal bucket shops, illegal cab dealers, and so on. Essentially, there are three sets of things Mr. Walker blames in there. The first, he blames poor people, vagrancy and homelessness, for what happens when assets get stolen. The second he blames is infrastructure and toilets and sanitation. Now, for me, when you read the security plan that's provided, I'll just read, unfortunately we didn't get a chance to put it on the slide, but I'll just read to you what was said by the security plan, which was compiled without any real commuter voice input into it. A joint high-density operation between SAPS and PRASA Rail was conducted during December 2017. But the criminals retained the initiative through a well-organized network of informants reporting on the movement of security patrols and the SAPS, and the criminals striking as soon as patrols are out of sight. Patrols in the affected area came to a halt after an armed attack ambush of one of PRASA protection services vehicle patrols during which one member was seriously wounded. The criminal elements mining our copper cable are determined to finish the job
by operating in large groups, some protected by armed gangsters, protecting the group whilst digging and stealing tables. Now, if Mr. Walker had actually said this to us, it would have made sense. But his letter, as you saw, first was unapologetic about employing people with criminal records, and then secondly, actually missed the point about what is causing the theft on our lines. And there, from where we sit, there is a serious criminal syndicate operating. There's no doubt about this. And we've known that it's been operating for the last 17 years. And if PRASA has security guards that are criminal, it is no wonder that PRASA gets to post on Facebook that one of the own people in the engineering, there you can see it, one of the own people in the engineering was responsible for some of the theft. So what we want to know is that who in their security services, in their security, cooperate with criminal syndicates. That is something that PRASA needs to investigate, and I believe Parliament needs to ask PRASA for every security contract, and indeed what has been done and how much this country has paid, and also for the 70 million rand which we spent on so-called intelligence gathering around PRASA, and we can come back to that when we discuss state capture. I just want to end off by going to some of the plans that I think all of us believe are feasible. The first is obviously that PRASA will not emerge from the current crisis unless a new board is appointed. And Cabinet must instruct the Minister of Transport to appoint a credible new board. A credible new board with the requisite qualifications, experience, skills and competency. It cannot appoint someone who still sits with a letter that they appointed as a judge of our court, and that she's either not resigned or not gone through a resignation process or another process of the Judicial Services Commission, which is the only body that can investigate whether a judge should resign or not, be appointed or not. So from that point of view, I want us to take very seriously that all those implicated in corruption, mismanagement, maladministration must be removed. Parliament must instruct the board to continue the investigation. Let me go to the specific safety and stuff. When it comes to senior management, a qualification, skills, competency and lifestyle audit is urgently needed for PRASA management at every level, starting with its head office and in its Western Cape region. You cannot say that the Western Cape has been run competently. And if National is responsible for not giving the proper support to the region, then we must know this. The new board must lead this audit to ensure that people's needs are prioritized. And the economy, particularly in Cape Town, where the rail system forms the basis of all public transport, is stabilized. An urgent safety plan is needed. If you look at this plan that is provided, it is a militarized, it's talking about drones and so on. So I want to know who's going to get the drone contracts. That immediately comes to mind. Who's going to get the drone contracts? There's going to be drones and armored cars. And I think perhaps it is necessary, maybe it is necessary to have drones. But that process needs to be open and we need to know who's going to get those contracts. The security employed by PRASA must be insourced. All of them must become PRASA employees. And they must be qualified and they must be CERA compliant. The protection of workers, particularly women and children and other vulnerable groups, must be prioritized. This can be achieved, as Mr. van Millen said, partially through securing of the station and their surrounds, including proper lighting and CCTV surveillance. I just want to go into something that we learned that was really shocking in the PRASA leaks. But do you know how much a light at the station costs? It would have cost PRASA about 2 million or something rand. About 20,000 or so. PRASA paid 2 million rand a light. 2 million rand a light. And if the board would like the evidence, we can provide it to them. They can take action against people responsible in South African case. So ensuring that PRASA secures its stations in this Iran. An immediate thing that we need is the separate compartments for women and children. Now, we know that our train sets have gone down from about 100-odd to 99 and then to 60, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, at the moment we're running at about 54 train sets, and each train set doesn't have the full component of coaches that it needs to carry people. So we don't want to be foolish and say on a train that has three compartments, only one should be set aside for women and children, because as you saw there, people will kill each other to get into a train to go to work, or beat each other up, or push in. The most impossible thing to do if you're inside that train to try and get out is almost impossible. So what is needed to ensure that everyone is safe is a strong security, but also proper communication to commuters. If we don't communicate with commuters, be on the station and shout, there's going to be a separate coach for women and children. We ask everyone to please make sure that women and children get to that coach. If you just put the coach on, no one is going to listen to you. People are going to push in. So the critical thing is the type of communication that PRASA has for commuters. Now, one of the things we want to ask is we want specific details and timeframes for such a safety plan. We cannot only have a security plan. There has to be a safety and security plan. Now, one of the other things that is critical to look at, the National Land Transport Act says that land transport, including rail, must be devolved. Now, I don't want to talk about the DA's competence in relation to water today, so I'm a little worried about handing them the rail lines, but I don't think anyone can do worse than PRASA at the moment. So what I want us to consider is a proper discussion with competent parties about devolving rail in every metro. With the ministry, because I know it's part of the policy in the white paper. But right now, I know last week there was a rail summit, and it's critical that in doing that, we haven't seen the outcomes of that summit, but we've had a communication from the city of Cape Town that says it is still being considered by the principals, and therefore they can't release it. Now, okay, the lines are still closed down. So, one of the critical things that's happening at the moment, because the 120,000 commuters from the central line do not have any other form of transport, in the mornings, Zuki will tell you that the taxi lines, as a consequence, are much longer. If you look at what's happening on the buses, people are fighting to get into the buses in the same way that they're pushing into the trains at the moment. So you wouldn't be surprised to see people riding on top of buses if we don't get this sorted out. So going forward from there, an alternative forms of transport like buses must be urgently provided to commuters. I just want to pause here at that summit that PRASA called, to which we weren't invited. We're not fighting about not being invited, but we would have liked to contribute positively. To that summit, PRASA took its own members, board members and others. They took them, I don't know if the board members went, but they took them in fancy PRASA vans from station to station. They didn't take the train. They didn't take the train. So let me put this to you. An alternative transport plan must be formulated. And at the moment, PRASA says to people, if you have a monthly ticket, you can get on a Golden Arrow bus after 8 in the morning or after 6 in the evening. I think there needs to be serious negotiations with Golden Arrow to allow at least women and children, because learners travel quite a lot on the buses and trains, to allow at least women and children to travel during ordinary hours. Because otherwise, women will come late to work, apart from the fact that women go home to do a second day's job, many other women would be unsafe at night. And this is particularly true because black African and colored working class people are the most affected by this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to leave it there. And I'm sorry we took a little bit more time than you allocated to us. So what you have is, at the moment, PRASA says buses, if you have a monthly ticket, when a train or a bus is delayed or the line shuts down or so on, you can only travel after 6 p.m. in the evening, or you can only travel after 8 a.m. in the morning on a bus with that ticket. Now, it's a very good solution to be able to use that ticket. But the problem is that for the most vulnerable people, elderly people, women and children, they have to get home, especially late. And as you saw, many people just walk along the line, which is also not safe.
Thank you very much. I did give you a lot of time because I could see that you were raising important issues. So I would now go to the next presentation. But before that, I wanted to find out from honorable members here whether it will be a train smash. Any discussion if we were to allow that commuter board? It sounds like only just about 7 minutes to make your own intervention. How about your experience before we go to class, and then we complete the voice of community in terms of the concern that we have. Now, I don't know whether members have a problem with that we can just manage it in my
Yeah, I think it's absolutely in the spirit that we are conveying this discussion of absolute essence, that if there are any other commuter organizations that want to make input, that we hear this. This is where we are at. Surely there's this general spirit of finding solutions, and therefore it's important to develop an understanding, and I think it would be of great value to also get the input.
Let it be shared. I want to suggest that. Thank you.
So, listen, the question is going to come to say so that you can.
Can you come to the front
I would like to say
something before I get to the topic, which I think an objection is not. I wanted to summarize in 5 minutes. And working with organizations like FAISA, South African Informal Trade Association, those who are selling the station, SANCO, Civil Society, into the Board Structure, SACP, well-known, FATAO, we are in exchange with the members of FATAO in Ubuntu, our union throughout the same process, and are working with the students also, COSAS and SACO. Without wasting your time, thank you so much for having me, and thank you to my colleagues.
Thank you very much, Chairman. My name is Dalisile Mfazwe, SANCO Regional Secretary, Independent Zola Region. We, as the people that live in the community, we take a decision that we must engage all the people that are affected. Our fundamental is to see our people having a transport to go to the affected area. As my colleague has alluded, we are working hand in glove until the problem that we are facing with to be resolved, not later than soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. Let me start by this introduction. In a cricket match, when the captain of the team fails to take proper or necessary decisions for the team to win, he is the one who is supposed to take the blame. The reason why we are saying this, we have been experiencing a lot of challenges in the team, and there is a regional management, because I think this regional problem has turned to be a national crisis now within SASA. It would be good that the Transport Portfolio Committee focus in the management, especially here in the Mississippi, seeing that our people are the ones who are feeling the pressure and who are losing their jobs. But on the lighter note, Chair, I think we highlighted some of the things we would like to also highlight as part of the contribution that we'll be touching on. The mismanagement we have been observing in SASA, the public space by some civil society structures that has disturbed our daily journey program, and also the daily job losses by our members, which are the commuters. Chair, on that note, I would like to highlight our daily experience in SASA. And we have been encountering as an organization. We are interacting with PRASA on a time-lapse basis. We are having a memorandum of understanding with PRASA that was signed in 2010. That makes us to make sure that we interact with the commuters, and also all the information we are getting from the commuters we are sharing with PRASA. What we have observed in the change of management, I think during Mr. Montana's tenure, there was a regional manager in Turakwad. When he was changed, the new management came in, led by Mr. Richard Walker. We find there was a huge change in terms of transformation. There was no transformation at all in the Western Cape. And what we have observed is that there was a fighting in of the management that was within, and was changing. Everyone was appointed by Mr. Turakwad was changed. And also one of the things we have observed was that there was a lot of intimidation and stuff, the infighting. As I highlighted, by interacting with union here, you might find a situation whereby the staff, as it is highlighted, is sitting there doing nothing because they feel the intimidation that is done by the management. And there's a lot of suspension that took place, and that has caused this country a lot and lot of injury. And also we have observed a lot of nepotism that has taken place here. I think those details will forward you to you in due course. Part of the things we have observed currently, when the new acting group CEO and the new CEO were appointed, we find we have observed there were some initiation of some memoranda of understanding in the office of the regional manager with some of the organizations. One of the organizations was not established, but it seems as if there is an infighting, too much infighting within PASA, whereby it's a regional manager of the Western Cape vis-a-vis the regional executive. Those are the things that we have observed. And I think part of that information is within PASA. And we're also happy that even Hashtag Unite Behind, as mentioning today, they have been afforded the privilege to sit with the regional manager, with which us, it's much very difficult for us to meet the regional manager here in this area. But it's not about complaining about the regional manager per se, it's a matter of safety issues. All these things, they tend to make us not to give us a proper service. That's what is happening every civil society. But on a lighter note, one of the things I would like to highlight, the issues of vandalism and the name of trains. Part of this information we normally get as commuters, and we share with the management. Part of your staff, because they're not happy with the way you are dealing with them, and now they are the ones normally who want to ban trains. At the end of the day, you find out the train is banned. And now you see now the regional management seems as if they want to do investigations and so forth, all those things. We're not assuming things. We're speaking from reality. We are commuters, we are using this train, people are communicating with this train and we're identifying them. Sometimes we even take photos of these people who are talking with this train and share those things in our WhatsApp group, whereby the management of PRASA is with us in it. But on a lighter note, Chair, what I would like to highlight on the issue of telemarketing, whereby you see us as United Commuters Voice. I'm not sure whether the case we are now, whereby you find a situation whereby no one wants to interact with us in our own things. Now, here emerge other organizations who got all these resources. Maybe because we don't have enough resources, maybe that's why we don't even have a presentation here today. That's why we are being ignored. I think we as these organizations, we've been writing here time after, and it will be good that in future you will give us a space to elaborate more on our issues. But on a lighter note, I think part of these things we've mentioned, like vandalism, cable theft, no limited security on stations, no limited security on trains, no limited ticket verification on stations, no limited visibility of PRASA security, commuters are soft targets. Gangsters operating in our stations, gangsters robbing commuters at gunpoint. This is a daily experience that we're experiencing, which we would like to take it up with you on time on time. I think on that note, Chairman, let's thank you very much for giving us this opportunity.
Very much for your presentation. We will move to the next presentation that we need to get. Now, we will at the end have the discussion about local issues, a lot of national complaints. I will give you a platform if still want to complain that you don't get the answer. We'll speak about that
A clarification quickly. We have not mentioned the Western Cape Regional Management with a letter.
Yeah, I don't want to get into that situation, contact situation about this thing. At least this is your own hearing what is said. Can quickly check when it goes wrong. Can quickly check when certain emphasis is made on certain issues, when you start to listen more carefully. But we're not going to go there today. Let's go to the real issues that we want to see with the safety and recovery, what we need to do. What are we going to do? I don't know, Deputy Minister, whether you want to comment at the moment. There's something that has been raised, I don't know that to carry it along as a small matter, which I thought you could easily just dispense with it. That issue is the issue about the board. I don't know that to get into that discussion about that issue. Just to clarify that there's a process.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. I think I did listening to the presentation. First, I wish I could personally have time to meet some of these outside the meetings because, you know, formal meetings are just one that I think I can discuss and speak deeper. But in the meeting, in my office, you can actually ask for more information and ask for clarity on any specific I would really wish that one day supported that opportunity. because these are the people that I think in which what are expected to deliver. Jefferson, we are in the process of appointing a permanent board. There were reasons for the delay. And in the advent will be out this coming weekend. We also have advertised for the provision of the court fee, or I want to believe there are people so that the closing date will also advertise for other senior positions in the charter table. Because we also agree that if you don't have the necessary people that you need to move the entity forward, we are going to have to tell the people that you can also hold accountable for actions, omissions, and their commission. So we're in the process of doing everything. I think I listened carefully to her presentation. I missed the name, Zoki. I do really wish to sit with her and get to know more about her presentation and her future presentation. So we'll definitely evolving great services to the Eastern Cape, I mean Western Cape will be very problematic. They are failing to manage the BRT money, and that is why they are fighting one another, because that's the money that they are charging, the BRT money. They are as corrupt as any Eastern one. So that will not be easy to do. Yes, but we more than willing to fit in fact our fund and to get with people that are here, including those that are from the community. I used rail services in the 70s. Some of the things that I said today here are what one needs to experience there. So the challenges of rail services in South Africa is all the services involved. The government of the apartheid government decided out of a commission led by the Villiers not to invest. The commission said do not invest. So when we talk 17 years for me, we should actually be talking the whole time that we have had trade services in South Africa. Because it's been like that. We would sit in the waiting station, there will be criminals will come take our things to school, then at the time. We'll get into the station, we only were the whole way system. So it's the challenge that we are having. However, I'm not saying out of what we have said as government is going to do to improve the railway services. We should not have lost the one by now. And I think I just want to mention that Jefferson. I've listened carefully to people that have been victims and I've seen what is there. It's what we witness every day. And if the report that we're getting from our own colleagues to say every day in the process take somebody back and we are aware, we would definitely want to improve that because it cannot be that we're losing lives because of our services. And we know that some people cannot use any other form or mode of transport other than the railway transport. And therefore, as government, we have got to assist them. I like what she said, okay, so when she said, we are here as
the organization, she said, for an organization to work with PASA because they believe that PASA cannot do it alone. And I wanted to even put a rider to say, even as members of the community, or communities and citizens of this country, because as they were presenting, when a train is torched today, that train will definitely not be functional. So if you have 10 trains today and one is torched today, it bends down tomorrow. Today, it means tomorrow you have 9 trains. Yet you still need trains in terms of the number of passengers. And these things, so for me, it is indeed that you are saying that we are here to work with PRASA. And I think that is a very correct gesture from herself, but also from the presentation that she has. Because I was very impressed with the presentation. That is why I was actually asking questions to say to you, I'm listening. And I want clarity on everything that you said. Because for me, it was more of a practical presentation with the aim of solving problems. The problem would be when we have political presentation, because immediately you want to jump into politics. I just want to say that and appreciate that this meeting that you chair.
Thank you very much. This was our presentation. Thereafter will be you can the board will move to the front and then you move to the back. Next one, and the intervention
And I will also cover in my presentation some of the interventions which will partially address the presentation made by the previous stakeholders. Chairperson, it's important to note that our mandate is to provide a primary mandate to provide transport and bus within to and from the Republic in terms of the National Land Transportation Transmission Act. The second element is supposed to be supporting the business because this is the housing subsidized business. But the focus of presentation will not dwell on this one, it will be the presentation for another time to the consolidation. Just a history, because if we destroy what we have, we cannot hope to be having more coaches. And it is given that we will then have overcrowding. It is the fact that the rolling stock we have is more than 50 years old, that over the past 15 years, we have been basically trying to keep the system running, the old system. That is a fact. It is with great pleasure that the government has committed over 170 billion for the next 10 years for doing what has not been done over the past 50 years. So as we upgrade the system, we're actually, it's like running a transport system while you are upgrading the roads at the same time. It is given that you will not be able to travel at the same speed you would normally travel if the road was not under construction. Everything within the rail system is under construction. Whether we're talking about improving of rail tracks, we're talking about the signaling, we're talking about electrical, everything is under construction, reconstruction. The ongoing asset destruction and vandalism has caused even a further strain on the stretch capacity of all systems to operate at an acceptable level. It's like taking a 1902 car and expecting it to be running at the same speed as the 2018. It cannot just happen. And that is the predicament we find ourselves in, while trying to provide the service in terms of our primary mandate. The background of the causes to the accident, the lack of investment, as we indicated, the aging system with obsolete technology, and the cost to modernize the system. Human error, just using Central Line as an example. Central Line is having four lines. Two of those lines have not been operational for years. Simple reason is that the whole system has been stripped off. On the 17th of January, we took all media houses, all stakeholders on site, we had a conference on site for all stakeholders to see for themselves the conditions under which PRASA is expected to be running a normal and safe passenger rail system. In a stretch of 15 kilometers on the central line, no more than 10% of the cable still exists. When you walk there, you are greeted by open trenches. The mistake that we've been doing as PRASA, when people vandalize the system, technical people will go there and repair the system and the trains will be running the same the following morning. In the process, what that has done, our technical people were destroying evidence. When people are caught in the bucket shop selling the same copper, they get arrested and charged for possession of stolen copper, not of stealing copper. So the police are saying, if you want people to be arrested and convicted, you have to cordon off the area to be a crime site. That will cause further delay. Another problem which we have is that because we are running now trains basically without robots, the signaling is basically the robots of the train. The train moves from one point to another, it needs a green signaling for it to proceed. If all the signaling has been destroyed, it means the train must move, it can stop and get clearance from the control. What then happens, you have trains stuck one behind the other. And that causes human error because it causes also fatigue, people in the control center. The hours they work, it becomes impossible even for them to concentrate. And people who are in the trains that are queuing one after the other, they get agitated, and we get the results that have been shared by the other colleagues. We also have a problem with an open system, leading to staff and everything, an operational incident. People move in and out of the system. We must take the blame as Rasa also, that instead of really protecting the system by building walls, we have been putting parasite fence, and people have been bringing it down. So the investment we have put in fencing have not yielded the fruits that we expected. Now we are changing to come now with a solid wall to protect the rail system. The encroachment on the rail system is just unbearable. The availability of spurs and equipment due to the age of the system is a challenge as well. It takes longer to get spurs because we're dealing with the generation of coaches that is very old. High level of community unrest causes a dissatisfaction of service delivery. We have a situation where the damage and the torching of trains have got nothing to do with service delivery of the trains. But if there is a service delivery protest in the township, people take their anger and go and put rocks on the tracks. And who got blamed? It is Prasa that got blamed, but we did not put rocks on the rail tracks. These are just examples. It takes more than a year once the coach has been torched to bring it back to service. This is just an example of the disaster that we experienced. Some of the parts of the train are stripped. If you visit, for example, the central line, just to bring the substation back into service, it will take 5 months. And it is our hope and process that we will be able to take some members of the control committee to see for themselves. I'm just glad that one of the members of the committee was on site with us on the 18th to see for himself the nature and the extent of the damage of the infrastructure, where everybody is expecting that things should be running as normal. It cannot be. This is an infrastructure that is supposed to be used to run the train. That's the condition under which. These are not just the pictures. I've been there myself. I was in the central line on the 17th of December, on the 16th of December, 17th and 18th of January, to try and get attention to this. Next slide. Next. Station. These cables which are supposed to be running the system, they are somewhere else other than in the infrastructure where it's supposed to be servicing. Okay. Let's look at the performance. If you look at the slide, in 2016, we had just 65% of the coaches which were in service. If you look by December, it's 53. The reddish light is the number of trains. About 25% of the trains are out of service because of vulnerability. So obviously, the consequence is obvious. You are going to have overcrowding because 25%, about one quarter of your age fleet. So in the combination, the fleet is old. Number two, 25% is out of service. It cannot be normal. Now you look at the numbers. Just a reduction between last year, between 2016, we've got a 53% reduction in terms of coaches. So you have a train that is supposed to have 12 coaches, is running now with other 8 or 6 coaches. Overcrowding is going to be a norm. If you put security to protect people, how can they move from coach to coach? It becomes an impossibility. This is why our team, even on the 18th of January, was that all community organizations, all stakeholders, have to work with TRASA. TRASA's mandate is to run train services, is not to run a security operation. That's why in the transport endeavor last week, Friday, the team that went there put it across to all tiers of government to say we need the Metro Police, we need the city to come on board, we need SAPS, even to go as high as the president to allow the defense force. People thought I was dramatizing when I was on radio and said Central Line is Western Bosnia. You have to see for yourself. Not sitting comfortably enough, but you've got to walk there and see that without a single cable on a 15-kilometer spread, how can you run a normal service? 2 rail tracks have even blasted because the trains have not been running. There's not a single signaling that is working. Those that are working, the gangs have shot them. How can TRASA be expected to run a normal service? Metro rail service performance. The target was to run 295, we are running 219. There's a shortfall of 26%. Train service in Gauteng, 141, gone down to 124. In the Western Cape, we are supposed to be running 88 by 12 coaches. We are running 55 coaches, which is a reduction of 38%. And these 55 train sets are not even complete. They are not 12 coaches a train. So it is a given that the complaints that you have had addressed eloquently by the presenter are a result of all this. In KZN, we were supposed to be running 57 train sets, we are only running 42. So you can see a reduction, a total reduction is about 26%. So the situation will not get better. I'm saying in 2017 alone, we're able to bring back over 500 coaches back into service. Out of that 25% which was out of service. But during the same time, we lost 800 coaches. It means we're losing about 80 coaches a month. You cannot run a normal system. Are we designed as TRASA to monitor our rail tracks, to monitor our coaches 24/7? No, we don't have that capacity. Are we a corporate citizen entitled for protection like any other citizen? The answer is yes. Are we going to be able to run the service without the involvement of other tiers of government? The answer is no. So we've been raising our hands and we are on the verge of signing an MOU with SAPS for rapid police to be increased. Just as a comparison, if you talk about historically, there used to be about 16,000 workforce of railway police. Now, with private security, we are less than 5,000. It can't work. This is why I'm on record as saying this outsourcing of security cannot work. We need a specialized force, railway police, under one single command, linked to the cities, Metro Police, and the SAPS. That is what can put an end to this. Do we have the capacity as TRASA to deal with the issue of bucket shop people who are stealing our copper? For scrap metals that are operating in our city, the answer is no. It requires the cities, it requires the provinces to do their part. We deserve protection as TRASA to be able to carry out our mandate. Train performance. The scheduled train in 2015 were 493,000. In 2017, it has reduced by that. But just look at the train comfort in 2015. is about 4%. Same campus in 2017, 12%. Joint delay, also 4%. What causes joint delay? Is an attack on infrastructure? Is the fact that the infrastructure is being upgraded? So you've got a double whammy. We're upgrading the infrastructure, preparing for the new trains to arrive. At the same time, it is being vandalized. Just to share with you, the 3 weeks that the central line was closed after that incident, despite the fact that we've got security on the central line, we lost 2 substations. We've got tracks vandalized. We are working hard now. We had to bring in a team from Gauteng to assist because we are planning to have the central line restored by middle of next week. But during that period of 3 weeks, there has been more destruction on the infrastructure. This is the picture that we have seen. Also, if a quarter of your fleet is out of service, and daily your coaches are being vandalized, you cannot have the capacity that you require to be able to provide a safe passenger rail system. Now, I want to move on to the next slide where I talk about intervention, considering that I'm competing with the summer. I just want to just to give you some indication, the total losses that we incurred last year were just over 200 million. By January this year, the losses are already 439 million, just on the infrastructure. If we take out there are 2 lines there which deals about the stormwater damage in KZN, but the damage of infrastructure, this is the money that should be utilized to improve the service. It is being utilized to repair the service. This is excluding the money that we spend just repairing the service that gets destroyed on a daily basis. What is strange, when people vandalize the system, they expect the train to be running the following day. Now, we are going to pass a number of slides. For example, the accident, the information is available, but I just want us to deal with the intervention, which we'll talk to some of the issues that the stakeholders presented. This is why I said we are together. There is no disagreement in terms of the fact that the current service is unacceptable. There are 5 interventions which have been identified for safe working during authorization of train movement. We are talking here about operating under abnormal conditions, where the signaling is not working, where you are relying on a manual system. These are the interventions that we are talking about. About 20% of them, about 64% is within a short term, what we plan to do between now and the 6 months, and then we've got on section B, what we plan to do between medium, which is 6 months to 12 months, and the long-term strategy. Train working conditions, these are all the interventions that we're planning. We're dealing with the training of people of how to work under abnormal conditions. The train accidents that we have had, they call it a human error, a human fatigue. For example, if you have, currently we're experiencing over 9,000 manual authorizations per month. What does that mean? What do we mean by manual authorization? It means the train literally stops. The driver has got to phone the control center to be cleared to move to the next point. How many minutes does that take? It takes up to 15 minutes. What is happening to the travel time? So you can take 9,000 manual authorization and multiply them by 15 minutes. That tells you the amount of hours of delay that we have. We have that because there is vandalism on the system instead of the system operating normally with the signaling for the driver to pass. Now we've got to authorize manual. The security and protection of assets, we'll share with you some of the practical plans that we are piloting on the central line to make sure that the central line, which is a stretch of 15 kilometers on each side, is secure forever. Because 70% of incidents in Western Cape are happening in the 15 kilometer radius. 15 kilometers accounts for more than 70% of the incidents. So we believe it is not if, when we arrest the situation in the central line, about 70% of the problems will be behind us. We are determined, we are working with all stakeholders. We will be signing an MOU with the city where they will be bringing their police, and we will invite all stakeholders to work with us so that they must not just wonder what we are doing, but they will work with us. We are planning a follow-up discussion which will involve even a roadshow to communities which are affected by this closure and train delays. And we've had very shocking stories of people who have lost their job. It is of concern to us. So we will be working with you. And the Major General of SAPS will be joining us. The committee organization have also agreed that we will work together. The SMS messaging, we are introducing what we call Go Metro. We are rolling out the free Wi-Fi in all the major stations where people were able to download the Go Metro website, where the announcement about train timetable, train delays will be given, which will improve communication. We'll also in a short time be introducing what we call rail radio. Contracts were signed more than 5 years ago already, so we are going to be implementing. Monitoring and compliance, human resource creating capacity. Right now, I mean, in the Western Cape, I called the person who was supposed to be working on the line over the weekend. The cell phone is closed. That's the person who should be giving the guidance as to when the central line will be open. That's why we had to bring people from Gauteng to come and assist, because the line has got to be open by middle of next week. So we do have undedicated employees who think working for CRASA has been on holiday. We will be making changes. There will be uncomfort. Some will be running up and down and complaining, but we cannot afford to let the situation remain as it is. The instruction from the board was very clear when they asked me to take over this job. They said, get the system to work. So those who are not willing to work, they will be pushed aside. That's the fact. The unions and us have agreed in terms of shift organization to reduce fatigue. And these are just some of the things that I said about 25 interventions. We can move to the next slide. We are reviewing train working conditions, speed monitoring, the shift end over, driver training communication, refresher training for people who are working in abnormal conditions. It is abnormal for a train to keep on stopping in between the stations. One of the technology which we have applied to RSR to utilize is where we will have embedded rugged phones in each and every train, where the control center will be able to see where all the trains are, so that instead of a train being authorized at each signal, it can be authorized from one station to another. That will reduce the delay and improve availability and also improve train arrivals. We'll also be looking at new train working condition for resignaling. While we have problems of vandalization, we also have a problem where we are doing resignaling. So that puts another strain on the working condition. So the training and compliance will be the other thing to also to reduce the human factor. We are banning, we have already banned the use of cell phones for people who are operating in our train. so that it should be just a push to talk, so that the concentration level of the train driver is not disturbed. Management of high level of authorities issues daily safety awareness campaign, safety management system, maintenance of tank radio. We are moving tank radio as an old generation. That's why we're moving into a new generation. Last week we were putting an application to the rail safety regulator to use the technology, which is not just going to be enable the driver to communicate, but it's also going to enable the driver to be located from the control room. They will know train 791 is actually positioned. They'll be able to see it through GIS where it is stationed. That will avoid collisions and other things. Protection of level crossing. We will be going to the market to bring the technology where the driver will be able to see about 2 kilometers before the level crossing if there is any obstruction on the railway line. The technology exists in other parts of the world. We will be going on tender to secure services. We will be improving on securitization system with SATS security technology. We'll be bringing CCTV, the drones, yes. We are applying for the license through Civil Aviation Authority so that the drones can fly at night. The things, the message we have for them is that they will be caught, we will have pictures, they will be prosecuted. The drones will fly at night and they will be able to take pictures. Because the environment under which the central line is located is closer to the airport. So we are going through the formalities of securing. But it will not be business as usual. We are, as Parsa, claiming our rail infrastructure back from the past. We are addressing the high level of vandalism in the central line. We have already deployed the armored vehicles, which will be there 24/7. They were deployed this week. So for rapid reaction if there is an incident. Interesting enough, it will cost less than what we have been paying for security guards that have produced nothing but frustration. So it's not a question that the cost will be escalating. The focus area is the new integration, is the recruitment of additional section managers to improve supervision, the repair and replacement of vandalized or stolen units. But over and above, I must tell you that was frustrating for me a few weeks ago. The new signaling that gets installed, it gets ripped off before it is even commissioned. Now, what we have to do, we are going back now to redesign so that the equipment can be put now in reinforced concrete. I said it to one of the contractors, I said, just stop here. Because by the time we have paid you money, we want to run a signaling. We can't run a signaling because there's not a single equipment that is operational. So we're going to be stopping a bus, which is going to delay modernization, because more than 20% of the new signaling installed, there's not a single equipment that exists. That is a really true thing. One other thing. CASA is not a security company. It is a passenger rail agency. And therefore, we are appealing to all agencies to come on board and provide security. As I said, that we will be finalizing arrangement with the Rapid Rail Police. We would rather contribute to the budget, let them do what their constitutional duty is, so that our hands can be freed to concentrate on our primary mandate, which is moving people. Other areas of focus is the shift handover. We agreed with the union, Satao and UNTU, that by doing authorization from station to station, it will reduce the number of times that the C2C personnel and the drivers are put under strain instead of authorizing so many times. The train will be authorized from station to station. That should reduce congestion and speedy train performance. I've already spoken about the replacement of signaling system and the challenges we have. The train driver voice communication, this is what I've already spoken about. Elimination of level crossing, there is a program underway, and also the monitoring. I don't like the word fencing. We are now going for warning to protect our relay reserve completely. We are embarking on what we call an accelerated turnaround plan, which is going to increase the train size availability. A number of coaches which are not in service are running short of few critical spares. So we'll be stocking up just to make sure we're bringing more coaches, about 30 coaches, back into service. We have noticed that we've got over 20% of our train coaches which are not in service. And our appeal to commuter organization is that be our ears, eyes, and voices. Get a message across that the attack on the coaches, attack on the service to the very same communities who are expected to service. Okay, we can move to the next slide. Rolling stock, our plan is to increase the availability through securing, making sure that the rotating machines and wheels are brought back. I must say that we have embarked on the investigation around these critical spares. We have found, to our shock, that while we have certain coaches that are not in operation, we've got a lot of suppliers that are sitting with our spares. There will be consequence management as well here, because there has been gross negligence with some of our people who prefer to use certain suppliers instead of others, resulting in some of the critical spares lying with the suppliers while our coaches are out of service. In terms of infrastructure, the practical things that we are doing is the improvement of system availability and reliability to reduce signaling infrastructure related delays. These are the actions we have embarked on. Reducing payway infrastructure delay, procurement of track machine, fast tracking of procurement. The supply chain executive is actually in the area to streamline that. We will also be devolving a lot of delegation of authority so that people in the region are able to take decisions quickly. Next one. This is just an example. This technology is used. ESCOM is using it. Municipalities are using it. There's no reason why ESCOM, that process should not be used. Next. I've already spoken enough about this. It's good that the weather has gone around, because the United States mentioned the drones. It's no longer nice to have. I don't want to tell the thieves what are we doing with that picture at the end. The simple answer, we're following the supply chain policy in securing all the services. The supply chain policy makes provision for all types of procurement. This is what the drones can show you at night. Next one. You can't see much. Next. Let me just share with the stakeholders and the portfolio committee that one of the decisions we have taken is to devolve opportunities along our railway corridors. So when we'll be building this wall in the center of this, we'll work with the Department of Human of environmental affairs. We will use the same communities along the railway corridors to build the wall. The maintenance of the payway, we are not going to use big contractors. We are going to use communities and cooperatives along the railway corridor so that economic opportunities are afforded to people who are in our alongside our railway corridors. Cleaning contracts, we have already issued instructions that no renewal of cleaning contracts, cleaning of the payway should be given. It should be devolved to communities. And that's a message I gave to the Deputy Minister. I'm repeating it here for the record. That is the route we are going. So we'll be identifying communities so that people should not just see contractors working in their area. We'll devolve as much opportunities to those communities. This is a world that we'll be building, robust. We will be using communities. I've given instructions already that based on the MOU we're negotiating with the Department of Environmental Affairs, that the contract that was due for adjudication, we will cancel and close this loop so that we can combine our solutions to social economic imperatives of communities under which we operate. We should not just look at moving communities, we should let them participate in economic outspin coming out of our operations. This is just an indication of the type of labor intensiveness in building the wall that we will be embarking on. It will take a shorter time than it would have taken a conventional construction. So you will see for yourselves, and we hope next time we'll be taking the portfolio committee members to see when we construct the wall. And we're looking forward to reducing the incident of delays and incident of vandalism in this region and other regions. Now, we're just going to show you a short video which just indicated the durability of the... Looks like they have an old computer. So, is this the last slide? We're just sharing with the partnership coming out of the transport event last week where my colleagues attended. There's a commitment from the city to provide 100 officers, 60 commuter safety, and 40 infrastructure. Upskilling of 1,500 passer security. You were talking about unqualified. The fact that we have absorbed some members of the veterans, we are busy going through a skills profiling. Those that can be trained to be utilized for policing. That is the program that we'll be doing with the city and safety and selective police. All staff to be under one command and control. It will be initially under the city, but the long-term objective is that all police should be under one command and control, which is SATS. We have built about 29 police stations around the major stations that we have so that the police can be in close proximity of the big station to be able to provide services to our commuters. 50 additional staff will be trained as peace officers. We are targeting to sign an MOU within 7 days. I can tell you right now that we are supposed to have visited the factory with the minister yesterday. The first coach is already under construction in Springs. The first batch of coaches will be manufactured, will be out of the factory by the end of this year. So good days are ahead of us, and thanks to our government by making provision of the billions that have been set aside. And we are determined as PASA to deliver on our mandate. That is it. And lastly, I can just comment that we also had, I'm using the past tense because it's going to disappear soon, we've got a number of areas like when we move towards Cape Town where we've got what we call speed restriction. The train, instead of traveling at 60 or 90 kilometers per hour, it travels at 30 kilometers because of the condition of the rail tracks. We are finalizing an agreement with Transnet where they will help us to eliminate those areas where we have speed restriction. So we're looking forward to improvement on our rail system. We are not done. We will respond to some of the questions and some of the concerns raised by the other stakeholders, but we are determined to claim back our rail system. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, acting CEO. Advocate, I don't know whether you have anything to add at this stage.
The only thing I will just add is I'll start with Mr. Bele because it's about the issues, the safety issues. Mr. Bele called me as chairperson of the board last week, Thursday. That was the first time I hear about the organization, and he informed me that they have an MOU with but I followed the process to say to you, talk to the company secretary, to the acting CEO, and then the matter will then be referred to the board. If there is a need for the board to intervene on the issues that apparently the organization has been dealing with or committed with the board. But the current board, the matters have not been brought to our attention, and I have opened the door to you to communicate with the acting CEO. I think they have been talking just last September. With regard to the presentation by Unite Behind, I'm not sure how long they have been communicating with the region, but from the what has been presented, it appears that it has been some time, but the issues have not been brought to the board. I have checked our records. I have not come across any correspondence from Unite Behind. It may be there, but it has not been. I'm not sure. The first time I heard about Unite Behind was in December when we received a letter about governance issues and when we ended up in court. So I would add to the committee, I know you have the best interest of South Africa and you want to bring out the issue to allow affected stakeholders to respond responsibly to matters that should come our way. And I would like this committee to encourage PRASA board and Unite Behind to have some constructive engagement about the issues that are before you today. It is unfortunate that sometimes, you know, when the first time your first meeting with a person does not necessarily have to determine how you end up. And I don't want my colleagues or I to leave this room with an impression that this board does not want to deal with the issues that have been raised. I have told them the company secretary the first time I heard about Unite Behind, that I would like to have a conversation with them. But unfortunately, and I don't think it's within this, your space to know about our encounters. And again, I just want to reiterate that first of all, for me personally, I would like to engage all stakeholders. The Deputy Minister has already responded to the issues of the appointment of the board, but irrespective of our status, whether we lawful or not, we are supposed to work and unite behind, and these other stakeholders must be encouraged by this portfolio committee to engage with us. That's all I can say for now.
Thank you very much, Advocate. I think the at least we have brought the board and unite behind this meeting. And I think there is a spirit that of engagement, and I saw them nodding as we were talking. Already that's already 50% of the problem solved of non-engagement. But we want to break for lunch, that kind of issue. But let me just say this before we leave for lunch. And I'm very pleased to hear where the lunch is at. And despite the community that we have the lunch, I think so it's from your own account, you would see how do we manage the situation. That's one. Two, as we leave, I'm tempted to suggest otherwise after the lunch, but at least the chair would take over. That's before we get into to engage with these two presentations. Because I tell you why they are important. Because we see both your slides in terms of the people and anyone that say whatever you say, to unite, they play the clip to see what they're doing. That situation has to change. You are functionalists of problems. You are the one that's going to solve that problem. So you can't take a posture of complaint like the other people complain. We expect a solution from you. Right? There's no two ways about it. You are in the situation. You can't solve the situation, step aside, find someone to solve it. What I'm hearing, that is why I was looking at the board, whether the board wants to say something. But if we continue the way we should continue, we're not going to find change. We're going to run into serious problems. 2 years ago, we raised this issue. We said, this is the thing that is coming, watch it. With respect, we can't be told today about the problem. Because one of the problems that you are saying, somebody said, some of the things that you are talking about is not, I mean, if you say people hit before we even start, that means it's an organized thing. That means it's got an internal information. That means somebody in there that has this information are giving the information. There is simply no way that what you have shown here, the problem that you're talking about, just happened. There's an information circulating in that ended up in the situation like this. I think I just wanted to say that for me, I'm not addressed, especially, but that's another one we must talk about. When we come back, maybe we'll have to delay the other part for later,
later this afternoon and those other days.
For us to engage on what we have there and what is the package of solutions. Because I haven't had yet. I'm not moved with the other side. But I think that would be better for further engagement, the serious engagement around some of these issues. The box, the bus comes to the board. When the board is yet to be a thing, we would engage about that issue. The operations, I think the operational. Let's prep for lunch and then we will get to the kind of meeting to stay behind for just 1 or 5 minutes.
Thank you.